Welcome on in.
Going over on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. I am Joe Roderick. He is Andy Hanselman, Giamatti, and Matt Grover back at the RQ Flooring Studios. And Andy, well, we thought that we would have just finished up about nine holes of golf this morning. And
yep.
But no, that's not the case. We did get to sleep in a little bit.
We did.
So, you know, that happened. But no, we were supposed to be out at the Woodlands Golf Course this morning for the show, and that didn't happen. We had to cancel that last night due to the impending weather. Did it? I mean, did it really get that bad? Like, did it get bad enough to where?
I don't think it did. But yeah. I mean, but the threat of it was there. But yeah. I don't know if it rained. How much it rained overnight?
Yeah, we'll be out there next Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Next Saturday is when we will be out there. So we're at the Belleville Studios today. Doing the radio show, and we think we got a good one for you today. Coming up at 10:25. At 10:25, I'm excited about this. It was something we talked about last week on the show. An article from Sports Illustrated, their new food section on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, as I eat.
Yeah, they kind of went in depth in that. They talked to like 20 some people. Broadcasters in sports, but one person they really went in depth with was Kenny Albert, and I've had Kenny on several times, so I reached back out to him and I was like, hey, you want to come on and talk food? Man who 365 days a year calls baseball, hockey, football, basketball, Olympics.
He works a lot.
Yeah,
he's a busy man.
I asked him if he wants to come on and talk food.
Is he off today?
I don't know.
Does he also work for MLB Network?
No, he doesn't do...
Just TBS?
No, he works for Turner. Yeah, does Turner, does Fox, stuff for Fox, and...
NBC Sports Network? Hockey?
Yeah. Yeah, he does that, and then MSG.
Okay.
Because I don't know if he's the voice of the Rangers and... Grove, is he the voice of the Rangers? Oh, okay.
I believe he is. Here, I'll pull him up.
I was going to say, I knew he was the voice of the Knicks. I didn't know if he also did the Rangers.
Yeah, he's a busy, busy guy.
So we'll also have audio, too. Last night, Kurt Warner was officially inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he went last. He went on last. And as we talked about, he was kind of the star of the Hall of Fame yesterday. I do think, and we were talking about this, I do think it had something to do, you know, with his fame for being on the NFL Network now. And,
right.
You know, the fact that he was, you know, the MVP, he was an MVP, Super Bowl MVP. But I start to wonder more and more if it was because of his just overall story.
Well, you know,
I mean, Terrell Davis, an MVP. Terrell Davis, two-time Super Bowl winner. I mean, that you could have easily put him at the end. LaDainian Tomlinson, one of the greatest scorers of all time, could have put him on the end. Jared Jones could have, you know, for what he's done for the game, could have put him on at the end. But I mean, I think when you look at the story of Kurt Warner, that has to end your Hall of Fame.
I mean, it's an unbelievable story. From being cut by the Packers in '94 to stocking toilet paper at the Hy-Vee in BFE, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. No, Iowa.
Iowa.
He did spend some time in Wisconsin. He was third string to Brett Favre for a training camp.
To the Arena League.
Mm-hmm.
To NFL Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Was made available to the new Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
In 1999. By the Rams, and the Rams and the Browns didn't take him. No one wanted him.
No.
And with 1:31 left in the second quarter of a preseason game against the San Diego Chargers,
mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner checks into the game.
Western Illinois' own Rodney Harrison had a lot to do with that.
He did. Creep. That guy. He's a hack.
Also a Hall of Famer.
Also a Hall of Famer, though.
Is he in the Hall of Fame, or is he...
I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if he isn't yet, but he will be.
Is he in the Western Hall of Fame?
He is. He's in there, but there's a it's a weird.
You look back at that season.
It's a weird relationship that Rodney Harrison has with Western.
I'm sure it is because he's a weird guy.
I think that some things didn't end well there.
Yeah.
And I think that they have spent a lot of time trying to get that relationship, trying to repair that relationship. But it's hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, hasn't happened yet.
That 99 season, though, was really unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he threw – he was the first quarterback ever to throw for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards in his first 3 NFL games. And only Dan at that point, only Dan Marino had thrown more touchdowns in a season. It ended up being, I think Kurt ended up with 40 that 99 season.
You know, I moved down here in 97, around August of 1997. Mm-hmm. So 20 years ago is when I moved from Chicago area down to St. Louis. So, you know, first NFL game that I went to down here, I believe, was a Rams and Carolina Panthers game, so it would have been Kerry Collins versus Tony Banks.
Yep.
I think is what I would have seen.
No, not in 97.
Wouldn't have been 97, no?
I think Mark Rippon or Steve Bono.
I don't know, man. I remember maybe I mean I there's a very good chance I didn't go to a game till 98. So that's what I'm saying. I just remember that's the first game I went to at the Dome. But I remember going to a couple games in 99, and I mean you're 8 years older than I am, so you'd have been 20 then, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, so you'd have been 20, mm-hmm. so you would have had a better appreciation for what was going on that season, because I just remember not really understanding how good that team was, or really even caring how good that team was.
I watched most of the games on television, and. It was Tony Banks in 97. Mm. Mark Rippon played 5 games.
Okay. I just remember Tony Banks was the quarterback.
Tony Banks started all the games. Mark Rippon played in 5 of the games. Mm. Okay. Well, then who was the quarterback in 98? It was not Tony Banks. God, he was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Even that 2000 team and the 2001 team, man, those were all fun teams to watch with that Mad Mike offense. So I was watching this thing. Grover's cutting, but Mike Martz was absolutely brutal to Kurt Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Tells a story about one time during practice, the center hiked the ball back to him, but didn't go to his hands, so it caused a fumble. The defense got it. Martz knew that Warner never touched the ball. And he laid into him for about 20 to 30 seconds, and Warner never gave the guy up. Never gave him up.
Yeah. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. We were actually discussing this last night. I'm trying to think. I wonder, and, I mean, Balzer would probably be up there. I mean, talking just in radio. I mean, I'm sure JT's talked to him several times, but trying to think over the last 3-4 years, how many times that I've had Kurt Warner on, how many times I've talked with him. I mean, every year at the Super Bowl, the NFL Network makes sure that Kurt is made available to us and gives us a time where they know he's not going to be rushed.
Yeah.
And where we'll have where, because everybody else, I mean, the way it works there is – most of the time, they'll give you a 12-minute window. The guy from the NFL Network, I mean, I've built a nice enough relationship with him to where it's one of those, he knows which ones I want every year.
Yeah.
I know which ones he's trying to find homes for, which guests he's trying to find homes for every year.
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, you know, you have your Kurt Warner level, and then you have your, you know, your guys that are maybe on, like, on a Tuesday afternoon show that not many people are aware
right.
of, and he'll come up to me at one point and be like, hey, I got so-and-so. You want him? Knowing that, you know, it looks good on him if he has all these times booked.
Yeah.
Yes, I will take him. And in return, I know that he takes care of me. And then there's all the other requests, like, and then there's probably about eight other requests where it's like, I'll request them, and he's like, okay, I can give you five of those in these times. So it's, but Kurt always, he always makes time for Kurt, and it's just the, how nice of a guy he has been every time. And I realize, you know, every time I've done the interview with Kurt, like, Howard's right there too.
Yeah.
And the respect that Kurt has for Howard Balzer, and is, you know, is really great. And just talking to him, how nice he is. And we all know that things didn't end well in St. Louis.
No.
Between Kurt Warner and the Rams.
Mike Martz.
Yeah, I you know, just the organization as a whole. And
the thumb.
To be fair, the Rams made the right move, because Kurt Warner went to New York and was bad.
Was terrible.
Yes. He couldn't hold on to the football.
No, his thumb was bad.
Yeah. It took him going to Arizona to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
And it took, you know, him going to Arizona and Matt Leinart being bad.
Yeah.
To be able to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
For him to have to, I honestly, to, for him to make the Hall of Fame. Right. What he did in St. Louis is what everybody will look at, and that was when he was amazing.
Yeah.
What he did in Arizona got him into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Because it gave him longevity. And the was it against the Packers, the playoff game where he was with the Cardinals, where he threw more touchdowns.
Yes.
Than he did in complete passes?
Yes.
It's just dumb to say out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, it was against the Packers. I think that was it the NFC Championship game? Or was it
I was going to say it wasn't the NFC Championship game. But for what he did, and just he still does the winter warm up, or the coach,
the Warner's warm up,
warm up. He still does that in St. Louis, and he and his wife still do still do a lot of work here.
Yep.
He still has a great amount of respect. I know that, you know, he talked with me several times. I mean, both in San Francisco and in Houston, about how much it sucks that St. Louis doesn't have the Rams. He
yeah.
talked in San Francisco, or no, he would have talked in Phoenix, I guess, about, you know, what it would mean for them to lose the Rams.
Yeah.
So he had a good understanding of what football meant in St. Louis, and could not have been a nicer guy. What you see on TV with Kurt Warner, what you read about, he is an incredibly nice guy who I think handles everything that has come to him very all the fame very well.
So looking back at the 98 season.
Yeah. Somebody texted in, by the way. By the way, you could text in as well on the Mark's Appliance phone lines, 855-282-8255. I'm wondering if it was Chris Miller that was the quarterback.
No. In 98, it was still Tony Banks started 14 games. Steve Bono started two games. Kurt Warner played in one game, 4 for 11, 36.4 completion percentage, 39 yards. And Rick Tootin. Played in 16 games.
Rick Tootin, he wasn't the punter?
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say.
He attempted one pass.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, it must have been a fake. So, yeah, I was looking at the passing. Yeah, Rick Tootin, yeah, played in 16 games, had one attempt. But, yeah, he was the punter.
The Gazette out of Iowa, making sure I have, I guess it would be the Iowa Gazette. They actually have the entire transcript of Kurt Warner's speech from yesterday, if you would like to go online to the Gazette. It's the Gazette.com, and search for Kurt Warner's Hall of Fame speech if you would like. If you don't have time to sit and listen to it, if you aren't able to, listen to audio while you're out doing whatever it is today, the Gazette has the actual transcript of the speech that he gave.
Chris
so.
Miller was the Rams' first quarterback in St. Louis. He was, and Mark Rippon also played some games.
And he does thank in his speech Mike Martz. He does thank Dick Vermeil, as you would expect. He mentions a lot of the guys that he played with. He does not mention the guy who takes credit for finding him, though, which you know, it's just strange that he doesn't mention Stan Kroenke's name in this.
Oh.
When Stan Kroenke has taken credit for the fact that he is responsible for finding Kurt Warner and knowing that he was going to be this amazing player.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm shocked he didn't Thanks, Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
Ass.
He even mentions the head coach of the Amsterdam Admirals, Al Lugenbill. Said Al went out of his way to call 12 different teams trying to get him a spot in the NFL, to get an NFL team to sign him. And it wasn't until the 13th phone call that a team decided to give him a tryout.
That would have been the old Fighting Rammies.
Mm-hmm. The old blue and yellow.
In December of 1997. Mm-hmm. Well, it's cool for Kurt. I know he is very well. He's very, very beloved in this city by a lot of people. And it's pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's a little look back. I know Grove's off gathering audio, like a squirrel gathers nuts for the for the winter. So I imagine that we will have a lot of audio fun for you with Kurt Warner's speech from yesterday and whatever else it is that Grove is actually off doing. So. Grove will have that for us presented by Tanner Law coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, right at 11 a.m. or as close as to 11 a.m. as we can get it. So that's what you have to look forward to on the radio show today. Coming up in just a bit. Oh, we also have Cardinal lineups too. So Grove will throw those Cardinal lineups out at you too. Cardinals win yesterday 4-1. Paul DeJong hit his 15th home run of the season. Paul DeJong leads the Cardinals with 15 home runs.
Huh.
That wasn't even on the board. You couldn't even bet on that at the beginning of the season.
No. Paul DeJong has 15 home runs.
Yeah. 28 overall. 28 when you combine what he has done in what he did in AAA. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
It's just, you look at the guy, I mean, I've talked to the guy. He's not this big, you know, I mean, Jed Jerko isn't big, but his arms, his forearms are. Paul DeJong, I mean, he looks like an old school middle infielder.
Yeah. Well, just kind of built like that?
He's just a small guy.
Like a Walt Weiss kind of guy.
It's really, really crazy, what he is, how he's built, and yeah, it really is. I want to say I would have to go out on a limb and guess that organizationally, home run wise, that Tyler O'Neill not far behind him. Tyler O'Neill, 23 home runs now between Memphis and Tacoma.
I believe he's hit.
He hit a home run, not last night, but did hit a home run against his former team, Tacoma, on Friday. And before that, he went on a nice little, he's shown that he can hit.
Did he hit?
By the way, five.
Did he hit successfully in seven games in a row, or what happened there?
On base? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, he had a 7-game hit streak snapped yesterday. He was, but he has been hitting. He was hitting very well as of late before last night. So there you go. If you're wondering where that power is going to come from, some audio or some words from Jed Jerko also later on in the show as well. But right now we need to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Kenny Albert of the. It'd be Fox, of Turner, of MSG,
of all
NBC.
Sports.
Yeah.
Of everywhere.
Talk to him about an article.
He probably works at KFMS too.
Probably. He'd have to buy time. So we'll talk to Kenny Albert when we come back.